So the things that put you into low, intermediate, high risk, and standard risk would be the genetics of the tumor. So whether there's amplification of the NMEIC oncogene, that would be by far the single most important thing. The age at diagnosis. Is actually
for neuroblastoma.
Well, this is, you're explaining why it's different from
It's different. So it's not based on like TNM stage. Like you could have stage 4 disease, yet still be in standard or low risk disease. Or you could, alternatively, you could have a stage 1 tumor, but be in a high risk category because there's NMEIC amplification. So the things that, what really predicts mortality is whether you're standard, intermediate, or high risk. And if you look at the chart for what puts you into one of those three things, it's like impossible to memorize. There's, you know, the age, whether there's NMEIC amplification, the diploidy of the tumor. But the single biggest thing would be age and whether or not there's NMEIC amplification of the tumor. I think the other thing that's just important to understand is just if I had to, you know, as surgical residents coming through our service, is just having a sort of 30,000-foot view of what the treatment is for this. It used to be in North America that we'd say, okay, whack it out if you can whack it out. And what determined the quote-unquote stage, whether you were stage 1 or stage 2, really determined on how aggressive the surgeon was. So if the surgeon could get it all out, you were considered stage 1. And if they couldn't get it all out, you were considered stage 2. That's sort of silly, you know, like depending on how aggressive the surgeon is. Now there's like these image-defined risk criteria, so things on the preoperative imaging that say whether or not you should or shouldn't take out the tumor. And so the tendency is more to do it the way they do in Europe, treating with neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So just the 30,000-foot view of the treatment is usually it's 5 cycles of neoadjuvant chemotherapy. Hopefully that makes the tumor smaller and therefore makes it resectable. The tumor is usually really friable and it's hard to get out. After they get the chemotherapy, it makes it really... almost like scar, and so it makes it so you can actually do the operation.
So how do you deal with the margins in the operating room then? Because it's unlike Wilms, which has a capsule, so you have to go wide.
Exactly. So you do 5 cycles of neoadjuvant chemotherapy. The operation is unlike any other operation, oncologic operation. We cut through the tumor all the time. That's pretty much the only way you can get the thing out because it encases the blood vessels. So basically what you're doing is dissecting out the blood vessels from the tumor. So you bivalve the tumor and you take the tumor out in 10 pieces or whatever. But like, things that are total no-nos in every other type of cancer, that's the only way you can get neuroblastoma out, by cutting through the tumor.
So the spillage isn't an issue?
No, it's not an issue at all.
You just want clear margins all around?
No.
No, that's
you just want a gross total resection. It's okay to leave some tumor behind. You just want a gross total resection.
Wow.
So if you get 90% of the tumor out, that's considered a success.
So chemo rads will take care of it.
Then you get one more cycle of chemotherapy. So you get your 6th cycle of chemotherapy. And then remember that neuroblastoma tends to metastasize to the bone marrow. So then you wind up getting a bone marrow transplant. And the latest thing now is usually tandem bone marrow transplants. So you get one bone marrow transplant, you recover. You get a second bone marrow transplant and you recover.
Same donor or?
Autologous. And then after that, assuming you're still alive, then you get, so we call that neoadjuvant therapy, surgical therapy, adjuvant therapy, the bone marrow transplant, followed by radiation
of
the tumor bed.
Tumor bed.
That's considered consolidation therapy. And then if you survive all that, then you go on to maintenance therapy, which is antibody-directed therapy plus Accutane.
Is that forever, or is that for...
It's usually for a few months.
Okay.
But so that whole process takes about 18 months. So like these kids are in the hospital.
What's the typical survival?
I don't know. You know, it depends. You know, 60 stage 1 or favorable risk, you know, it's probably like 80%.
Oh, wow.
For high risk neuroblastoma, it's more like 40 or 50%.
Certainly makes Wilms' tumor look like a walk in the park.
This is a 5-10 year survival.
Yeah. 5 year survival. So I guess I just, before we ran out of time, I just wanted to point out that like neuroblastoma is very, very different. But I think the most important thing for you guys to remember is just have a view of what the whole treatment paradigm is. And then also just that the way we treat it surgically is totally different than what, you know, I was always left sort of scratching my head. It's like, well, you guys are doing stuff that I'm told you're never supposed to do. But it turns out there's actually some survival benefit to doing that.
Can you do a 2 minutes recap on the Wilms, like you just did for neuroblastoma?
Sure. I think the Wilms tumor follows the classical TNM staging. I think that you know, surgery is a critical part of their treatment. The most important thing with the operation is not to violate the capsule and to remember to sample the lymph nodes. If you don't sample lymph nodes, they automatically are stage 3. You assume they're stage 3, and they wind up getting radiation therapy. Even if they're stage 4 disease, their survival is over 90%, and that's just because of these clinical trials where we've, you know, really been able to, it's very responsive to chemotherapy.
I'm not very familiar with the lymph node like anatomy. Is it along the hilum?
It's along the hilum, and then you take the lymph nodes along the vena cava.
Vena cava? Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, for Wilms tumor, it's much more.
Yeah, they seem like two, you know, in terms of the local behavior of the tumor, it seems like the Wilms and the neuroblastoma are like on two.
Yeah, no, the Wilms tumor pushes everything out of the way. The neuroblastoma actually grows along the blood vessels. So, like, it, you know, can encase the celiac, the SMA, the renal arteries.
Wow. You can see on this MRI right here, this was a patient that Dr. P and Dr. Boo operated on in December. And this is after therapy, preoperative MRI, which is pretty impressive. And I think really demonstrates that there's really, you can't get this whole tumor out, right? It's encasing the aorta, encasing the celiac.